Good evening. Welcome to tonight's Men's Forge Group. To have with me tonight our worship pastor, Jordan. We're going to be discussing, well, continuing the conversation about money, a healthy view of biblical finances. And Jordan, the key word there too, obviously healthy and biblical, but really biblical. This is not a conversation about my opinion, your opinion versus everyone or anyone else's opinion. It's a conversation about what does God's word say about finances and how should we apply that truth to our own lives. There is, of course, practical, logical truth regarding finances outside of Scripture. That topic is worth having in a church. Christians should have practical, logical conversations about finances, but we're focusing this conversation on what is dealt with by God's word. Now, we left off last week talking about spending. We had looked at just the overall foundational view, biblical view of finances, and not just finances, really anything God gives us, and that is we are stewards. We are stewards of the time God has given us, the relationships, the health, the abilities, the money. There's so many things we're stewards of, and we kind of specifically looked at stewardship in regards to money. But we went from that to borrowing, and we discussed that borrowing biblically is not actually anti-biblical. God is okay with borrowing. God does warn us against over-borrowing, essentially, borrowing more than we can afford to pay back. And God does specifically state it is a wicked individual who borrows and does not pay back. But the fact that you would borrow with the intention of paying back is not something outside of Scripture. And then last week, we talked about spending. Now, we only got halfway into the conversation with spending. It was actually Ethan and I. You couldn't make it last week. So we talked about how money is meant to be spent. If you spend it now, if you spend it later, it is still being spent. You could say, well, I'm a saver. Well, that just means you're saving for later to spend it. Otherwise, you're just talking about hoarding. Hoarding is the idea of gathering large amounts of money with no intention of spending it, and God does not speak well of those who hoard money. So then we went into the fact that when it comes to spending, it's a matter of how you will spend, not if, because everyone's going to spend the money they've got in some way now or later. And we got to 2 points last week. We talked about you should spend on God's kingdom and you should spend on yourself. And where we left off last week was spending on yourself. So let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. We did not see this verse last week. We saw Deuteronomy chapter 14 and Deuteronomy chapter 28, where God's word talks about the blessings he wants to give Israel and how some of those blessings would include the ability to have abundance of land and abundance of possessions that could be used to better enjoy the time in this life. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 26 told us that after you have given your tithe to God and brought it to the temple, the excess that you had above and beyond your needs could be spent. God said, whatever is the desire of your heart, spend it on that. Now, picking up on spending on yourself, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, charge them that are rich. Oops, I'm sorry, wrong chapter. Chapter 5, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. That word honor there does not mean respect your pastors more than you respect everyone else. In this context, the word honor, referring to verse 16, meant honor in reference to how they are paid. In verse 16, a widow in the church who could not care for herself was to be honored by financial caregiving by the church for those who truly are widows indeed. And then the same idea, give honor or financial care of your pastors in the church. And in verse 18, for the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Meaning, God says that specifically in this verse dealing with pastors, it is okay for pastors to have nice things. It literally says double honor, meaning whatever you would give to a widow for her essential needs, a pastor should not be paid on the level of you might say, a widow, but double that. Whatever, and we're not talking numbers here, but God is obviously implying that a church should not be stingy in how they give financially towards their pastor when they can. So God is not against pastors having money, pastors buying nice things with that money, and God actually says that a laborer is worthy of their hire and should enjoy the reward of their work, including those who do spiritual work. So is it okay for us to spend on ourselves? Yes, yes, and yes. Yes, if you've got the money. Yes, if you have earn the money. Yes, even if you are a spiritual leader whose earning of the money comes from doing the work of the ministry, God still says it's good for you to enjoy the reward of your labor. Jordan, what do you think?
Before I came here, I was told by somebody, because I was looking to go into full-time ministry, and they said, why would you do that? You have an honest job.
An honest job. So, wow.
Yeah, there are places that don't think that you know, well, you just preach on Sundays. You know, why should you get paid for that? And I mean, that in that perspective where I came from, there's a lot of weekend warriors where they'll just, you know, preach on Sundays and then don't really do anything else throughout the week. So in that case, I could understand, but you know, the pastors do, I mean, that's 7% of their ministry is just preaching. I mean, there's way more than what they do.
I was going to say that even these weekend warriors, that's not, I guarantee you, all they're doing.
Probably not,
for
yeah.
the people in that church.
Right.
If it is all they're doing, if all they do is preach 1 hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours a week, then there's a bigger problem than what they are or not being paid.
Right, which does happen. So I think there was a stigma there that, you know, pastors, you know, you're not supposed to get paid. What do you do, you know?
Yeah.
So it was, when I was reading this, I was thinking of that comment that was made to me. You have an honest job.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that people have that misunderstanding, and it's unfortunate that some pastors have given that misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. But according to God's word, a pastor is a worker who deserves to be paid and deserves to enjoy the reward of their pay. I knew a pastor one time who bought a nicer, newer car. I don't think it was brand new, but newer car. And some of the members complained because the pastor had a nice car. In their opinion, they felt that the pastor should have a car that drives, but that's pretty much it. You know, the interior should be falling apart. The exterior paint should be peeling. Basically, it should not be a car that anyone else would want except for the pastor.
And I know of churches that had to vote on what the pastor could get with the salary that was given to him.
Really?
Yeah.
He couldn't use the salary as he saw fit.
It was fancy purchases, investments, things like that. It was almost like, you know, CEOs have this board of financial you know, people and has to run by them, their advisors first.
That just goes against God's view of finances, as we've seen here, that no one – and we started the conversation with that. Jordan and I are not here to tell you how to spend your money. And it is not your job to tell us how to spend our money. Just because we're pastors – doesn't give you the authority to thumbs up or thumbs down what we spend our money on. If we get something nice and we can afford it, you should be happy for us, just as we're happy for you if you get something nice and can afford it, because the labor is worthy of their reward and should enjoy the fruit of their labor. Don't muzzle the mouth of the ox. So it is okay to spend on yourself. But let's move on from that. We spent a lot of time talking about that last week. And how else should we spend? Well, on our loved ones. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 13. So if you're going to spend, you should spend on God's kingdom, not because God's making you, not because you have to, but because you should want to take advantage of the opportunity to participate in something bigger than yourself, the kingdom of God. It is okay and even encouraged by God to spend on yourself, because someone who works hard and never really enjoys the fruit of their labor is going to lose probably the motivation for what they're doing. And then Proverbs 13, verse 22, a good man leaveth an inheritance, property, possessions, money, to his children's children. And the wealth of the sinners is laid up for the just. All right, so let's talk about the first part of that verse. God is saying that not only will a just, righteous man spend in a way that benefits his children, he will also spend by saving, so saving to spend later, for the benefit of his grandchildren. So family definitely needs to be involved in the manner by which we spend our money. I have known of some families whose father works, that's a pretty good job, but the man spends all of his money on gambling, alcohol. And you'd be shocked at some families that are truly struggling financially. It's not due to a lack of income. It's due to mismanagements of fund, usually by the father, who just spends it all on himself and does not consider the needs of his children, of his wife, of his family.
I was reading this afternoon on this group on Facebook, and a guy had posted on there, said, you know, I'm expecting my firstborn, any advice? And most of the guys, like surprisingly, a large amount said, you know, invest in college, mm-hmm. invest in college. I'm thinking, what about between, you know, when he's born to, you know, so it's not just the investment of the future, but I'm sure we talked about this, but also the investment in those little moments as well throughout that person's life. So when it talks about inheritance to his children's children, I mean, again, God doesn't lay out every single thing that we should do.
Right.
This is generality. But when we look at this, I mean, obviously we should invest in our children in the small moments, you know, and that looks different for everyone.
Well, if God encourages for a man to enjoy money and spending on himself now, then obviously it would be, I think, accepted and encouraged to spend that money, enjoy moments with your kids, not just to go out and say, I'm going to go to the restaurant by myself and have a great meal. Bring your family with you. I'm going to go bowling by myself. You know, bring your family with you. Enjoying moments is truly one of the best ways to spend money, because when money is spent, what do you have left? You have a full stomach for 6 hours, and then the stomach needs more food. So to spend exorbitant amounts of money on tasty food all the time, if you can afford it, great. But if you can't, it's a waste of money because you'll be hungry again. But you know what you can spend your money on that sticks with you? Our memories. As a father, I've recognized that vacations are not a waste of money. Vacations for our family, we go at least one a year. We try to do two a year vacations where we are making memories with my kids. And I'm hoping those kids will not only shape the love in the house, but it will give our kids a gift that they can take with them for 10, 20, 30 years down the road. I have memories with my dad and my mom, my family, that I cherish today at age 38 that I spent, you know, at 15 with them, vacations. And so it is not unchristian to spend money on your family for things that others might say is a waste. I mean, you're going on vacation. What happens after that? What happens after that is you have the memory.
Right. Between 1 and 18, I got a lot of Christmas gifts growing up. I don't remember half of them. I mean, maybe 2% of them, you know, big things that I got. But I remember a ton of moments and memories that I had between 1 and 18. And really, they don't – those actually, I mean – reality, you don't have to spend a lot of money to please kids. You know, you take them outside, you know, throw ball with them.
Well, until you raise their expectation.
Right.
Once you've raised their expectation, right, then you're in trouble.
You go to Disney World the first 5 years, you're going to have to go, you know, somewhere else after that. But yeah, it's these little things. I mean, you know, just a quick example off the top of my head, you know, I think it was yesterday. My son has this turtle, it shines stars on the ceiling. And it had no batteries. I went and bought batteries for him. So like that was an investment of some. I mean, batteries are not cheap. Anyway, it was an investment, but it was a moment for him because he remembered the stars being on the ceiling, and that's something that we'll sit there and watch the stars on the ceiling. You know, it's little things like that mean the world to him in that moment, and that's what we want.
But you know, it's not just making memories and making moments. We need to, when we spend, make sure we are covering the needs of our family as mm-hmm. well. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, we read, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." That word infidel in the New Testament era would be a word used to referring to not just the unsaved, but the unsaved who are reprobate, the unsaved who have given themselves wholly over to unrighteousness. So you can be a dad who goes to church, wears a suit, says all the right things, but if your kids don't have their basic needs covered, then God says, as far as I'm concerned, you're just a show-off. You're not the real deal.
Right, and there's no difference between a husband who looks at his wife and says, why are you disappointed? I provide a home, you have clothes, you know, have all these things. But then there's the balance of meeting the needs, but also meeting the memories as well. So you can't have the overload of just, well, I provide all that you want. What more do you want?
Right.
Well, I mean, it's not a want. It's a need. They need those things in their life. And just like you can't spend on moments all the time, you have to also provide their basic needs.
Yes, a balance of both. Good, you are right. So there's a lot of dads who spend on the moments, the memories, and go literally into debt, large amounts of debt for the moments, for the vacations, for the Christmas gifts, buying massive things for their family they do not need. So when it comes to needs, there's no money left.
Mm-hmm.
Then as you stated very truly, there's a lot of dads and moms who it's only the needs and none of the memories are dealt with. And by the way, you know, speaking of a father who would say to his wife and kids, well, I give you your needs, what more do you want? I mean, you would have to basically come to the conclusion that the woman you've married you for your money and to take care of her financially, not because she loves you. If you agree she married you because she loves you and wants to be loved by you, then you have to understand that meeting their needs is the most basic form of showing love. You got to go higher than that, because even the government provides basic needs to its citizens. And right. So if you think that as a husband, all you have to do is the bare minimum, then you're not showing love to your wife.
If you love your wife like the government loves people, then that you're not.
Then we're in trouble,
yeah,
aren't we?
You're not loving.
All right. So spend on your loved ones, not just the needs, but also the memories. And not just your children, but a righteous wise man actually saves to be able to spend on grandchildren down the road as well, and has enough money to make those memories with your children and your children's children. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then the fourth thing you spend on is the poor. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. We said this last week. I want to say it again. Nowhere in Scripture does God ever encourage, mandate, or even ask Christians or Israel to spend on the rich. God doesn't tell us to give more money to the rich. God doesn't tell us to care for the rich. The rich should be able to care for themselves. But God does say to spend and care for the poor. Now, the rich, in God's word, are never the outlaws. You know, God does condemn those who spend money upon their own lusts for wicked reasons, but just having money doesn't make you the bad guy. But we need to understand that our goal when helping people is to help those who cannot help themselves. Maybe their own bad choices got them in this place. Maybe someone else's bad choices got them here. Regardless of how they got there, we still need to have compassion on the poor. Christ did during his earthly ministry. In the Old Testament, we see over and again the encouragement to care for the poor, as do we in the New Testament epistles, the letters written to the churches.
Linked to those verses, you never find, you have to ask or investigate why they're poor. So, for instance, I mean, and this is really my own preference, is that I don't ask someone, you know, what are you doing staying on the side of the street? You know, because there's a lot of stigma. Well, what if they use it for drugs? What if they use it for this? Well, it's not my job. Just like, you know, it's not a member's job to look, you know, what we spend our money on, or we don't look at their, see what they spend money on. It's not our job to look at someone else and say, well, what are they going to spend it on? It's not our job to assume. Now, if you know, you know, this person just takes money and goes and spends, I think there's some wisdom that needs to be dealt with there, but I don't think there's an investigation that needs to be had before you give a little bit of money to help somebody.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you, Jordan. I do understand what you're saying, and I will just say what I said already. God's word said assist the poor, regardless of how they got there, but assisting the poor doesn't mean giving them money. Assisting the poor could mean giving them clothes.
Sure, yeah.
It could mean
yeah.
giving them food. And I would say wisdom, biblically, and even just in the world's wisdom, if you give money to someone who might be a drug addict, you're enabling them to be a drug abuser. As opposed to giving them food, as opposed to giving them shoes or a coat. Now you're actually really helping them.
Sure.
So I would agree with you partly in the sense of, let's say someone is a drug abuser, and if I have the ability to assist them with food, then I should still do that.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say, well, you know, you had money, you spend it on drugs,
yeah.
You don't deserve food.
Right.
That would not be a Christian
right.
or biblical way to view it. But nor would I say that it's my responsibility to give them money, even if I have the slight inclination that it would be used on drugs again.
Sure.
By the way, Jordan, the real issue is, practically speaking, when you see how our government, the United States, it gives money to other countries mm-hmm. all the time, third world countries. We give millions, billions of dollars to these third world countries. They're still third world. You know why? Because the money's going to the leaders who are just using the money for mm-hmm. their own nefarious reasons.
Right.
And the government may have your philosophy of, well, it's not really my job. I'm just going to give the money, hope for the best. And all they're doing is enabling mm-hmm. these wicked leaders to continue oppressing the real needy people because the money's being misused.
Sure.
And if you're giving cash to a guy on the side of the road who maybe has a wife and kid, you're not actually helping his family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I didn't mean to limit it to money, obviously giving anything to them. But what I mean is that we don't have this. I guess here was my point. We don't have to sit in judgment of someone like they don't deserve whatever it is that we give them. We give generously because that's what God has commanded us to do.
That
money,
I would agree with.
Money or whatever.
Generously,
it is.
Yes. I would recommend not giving money to those who you're just going to enable them to spend it more on things that would hurt them.
Sure.
But give generously food, give generously clothing. Definitely, we need to be doing
sure.
that. All right, so giving money to the poor, Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. So if we are assisting the poor in our communities, God basically says by giving to the poor, you're giving to me, and God says, I will return that to you. Does not mean God will return it to us financially. Does not mean God will return it to us 10 times over. Don't give money to the poor with the hopes that God will increase your bank account. But God basically does say, you are giving to the poor. Didn't Christ say the same thing in one of his parables? He said, when some died, he went to heaven, and God said, well done, You know, you when I was sick, you helped me. When I was naked, you clothed me. And then they said, when have we done that? And God said, when you did it for the least of these, the poor. God said, when you did it for them, you did it for me. And I'm proud of you for that.
Right.
So let's not forget the poor. And Jordan, again, I agree with the statement that it's not our purpose to judge how they got there. It is our responsibility to assist them in that position if we are capable of doing so.
And that was most obvious in Christ's ministry, where he met a need to open their heart for their greatest need, which was the gospel.
And how did he? What need did he meet first?
Through the physical need,
which was
food.
Food most often food.
But water,
it seems a lot of healing as well. He would heal their physical needs. You're right. So he could get to the spiritual.
Right.
Now, that does not mean we as Christians should have an ulterior motive. I'm only giving you this food to preach to you, and if you don't hear the word, I'm taking the food back. It needs to be a genuine, I do love you, regardless of whether you hear the truth, want the truth, I do love you, but my love is deeper than your physical needs. My love is deeper than your spiritual needs. I mean, it is deeper than your emotional. It is your spiritual. Will you let me help you there, too? But with the feeding of the 5,000, Christ didn't say, well, only those who listen, only those who follow get food, and I'm going to manipulate you into staying longer. He passed it out to everyone, men, women, and children.
Right, right.
All right, well, let's move on. So the question of not if we will spend, but how we will spend, spend on God's kingdom, spend on yourself, spend on your loved ones. And by the way, the loved ones doesn't have to just be family, does it? We find that in the New Testament, the loved ones included the church, and a lot of the believers were spending on their fellow believers in Christ, on others in the church, assisting their needs so that they could have what they did not, what they were lacking, food, clothing, housing, whatever, and then spend on the poor. Now, when spending, there's what I see here, five things, biblically, we should not do when we spend. We're not going to be able to get to all five today, so we'll just look at a couple. The first one is, do not spend to satisfy your greed. Do not spend to satisfy your greed. Now, what if you have the extra money? What if you've got enough money where you could spend on your greed and you aren't going to go in debt? Would it be okay then just because you have the money? What do you think?
Define a greed.
Well, greed is biblically lusting after something in an unhealthy manner.
Then I would say no.
I would say no as well. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Now, there are things that you want. And again, we read in Deuteronomy last week where God says, hey, you've got excess money, you want it, great. But when your want turns into an unhealthy desire, when it turns from, hey, you know what, I would love to buy that car to, man, I need that car. When it turns from, man, I would love to have a new suit to, you know what, I cannot preach next Sunday without this new suit. Now we're going into greed, right? So you've crossed the line of a natural desire to enjoy nice things. Nothing wrong with that. You've crossed the line into, I can't be happy without it. An unhealthy desire. And when you satisfy your unhealthy desire, what are you basically doing? You're encouraging your own flesh to continue that path. Basically, you are spoiling yourself. Now, what happens when you spoil a child? Are you doing them harm or are you doing them good?
Harm.
All right, what if you have the money to spoil the child and you could give that child whatever they want and your bank account is still going to have whatever you need?
Yeah, uber harm.
All right, you're still doing harm to the kid. You got to think of it in the same way of yourself, that you are not doing yourself any favors. You're doing yourself harm, whether you have the money or not, when you spend to satisfy your own greed.
Yeah, because when you start satisfying, well, your greed is never satisfied, first of all.
That is
true. When you start spending on your greed, you will spend it when you have the money, and then you'll begin to spend it when you don't have the money.
That's well said.
Which is how families get broken up and marriages fall apart because there's financial, you know, problems, and you know, dads will go, you know, casino to spend thousands of dollars, you know, things like that. I mean, like, it's little things like that. When you just begin feeding the greed, which never is satisfied, you will spend it even when you don't have it.
Yep. We're actually going to talk about gambling on a separate note at another time, but I'm glad you brought that up. So that is a great point, Jordan, that even if you denied it and said, you know what, it doesn't hurt my morality, it doesn't hurt my character to spoil myself every once in a while. Well, look, you can believe that, but Jordan made a good point. Once you've trained yourself to be spoiled, you're going to keep doing that even when you don't have the money. And that's when you really get yourself in a lot of trouble financially. Mm-hmm. So Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10, the Bible says, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase." This also is vanity.
Vanity.
It's emptiness.
He should know.
This man is King Solomon, who had more money and more things than most kings before and after him. And he says, hey, you may have the money to give yourself an abundance of possessions, but all you'll find is emptiness. So again, sometimes our financial decisions are not based off of how will my bank account look when I'm done. Sometimes our financial decisions need to be based off of what happens to me and my kids when I do this thing financially, regardless of what my bank account looks like.
Right.
Because, we need to consider that.
Right, because there's a lot of older divorced men with a lot of money and no memories with their families, yeah. Unless it's, you know, it's bad memories. And so that money's sitting there, but it obviously never satisfied because they're thinking in their minds, I wish I did this, I wish I did that. And they're telling all the younger guys, you know, you should do this, you should do that. And, you know, we don't have to go there. This is an old man sitting in front of us telling us, this is vanity, this is vanity. Ecclesiastes is a great book of, in a sense of regret.
It's a warning.
It's a warning. You know, it's the old man sitting, you know, this is just the way I think, okay? Because there's an old country song that talks about an old guy sitting at a bar and the young guy comes in and he's giving him all this advice. And this is like how I imagine Solomon sitting, not at a bar, but just sitting there and giving me all this advice. Don't do this. This is vanity. Don't do this. This is vanity.
Yeah. All right. So don't say, well, I've got the money so I can be greedy. Ask yourself, is it helping or hurting your emotional, spiritual condition? Anytime you satisfy greed, you are hurting your spiritual condition. Anytime you satisfy the greed of your kids, you are hurting your spiritual condition. Let me put it this way. I want to give my kids nice things, but I will tell you this. When my kids start whining for things, that seals the deal. They're not getting it. Like, I may consider giving my kids ice cream for dessert, until the moment they start whining, then there's no way I'm giving them ice cream for dessert. I may consider my son, he's 2 years old, he wants a toy. And he's saying, Dad, can I have this toy? And this has happened even recently. I may consider giving him the toy until he throws himself on the ground and starts crying. Then I take the toy in front of him and put him up on the shelf. He does not get that toy. It's not because I can't afford to give him the toy. It's not because I can't afford to buy him 10 or 100 toys. It's because my kid's character is more important to me than what he gets.
Right.
And by satisfying his greed, I am hurting him.
Right.
All right. Let's look at another verse here. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Let your conversation, your character, your testimony, who you are, be without covetousness or greed. And be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We need to find contentment in this life, not because of what we've got, but because of who we've got.
Right.
Don't say, I've got a nice house, I've got nice clothes, so I'm content. No, no, I've got Christ, so I'm content. Everything else that Christ has allowed in my life is just, it's nice, but it's not the source of my contentment. I could lose those things, and I would still be content.
Right, and you know, I was going to give a story, but it doesn't matter. Go ahead.
Well, we actually got time. We're going to end, so
tell us
a story.
I was going to say, I mean, I have been to the place where I was single and blew all my money on a couple of nice suits, some nice ties to look good because that fed my pride, and I was greedy with those things.
You must have been pretty poor, man, to blow all your money on a couple of suits.
Yeah, I mean, anyway.
Okay. Not much to begin with there, huh, Jordan?
Not the Pope. It already hurts, okay? No. I've worn some nice suits, and I've worn some good suits that get me by. You know, they accomplish the goal, basically. There really is no difference. Except one feeds your pride, and the other one just makes you content.
One feeds your pride.
And so greed often just feeds pride, which is the death of all things. And so why aren't you content with that car? Why aren't you content with that house? Why aren't you content with that memory instead of this memory? Because you're seeing all these other families go to Disney World, and you can't afford it. Why aren't you content with just going this place or whatever? So I think contentment is almost the key to financial success is just being content with what you have and what you can afford.
Yes,
because I may not be able to afford what you can afford, but I can afford what I can afford, and I'm going to manage my money the way God would want me to for my family.
So, you make some great points again, and I want to say this. Being content doesn't mean you don't get nice things. Being content doesn't mean you don't get new things. Being content means those nice new things don't increase your contentment, right. And losing nice new things don't decrease your contentment. They don't affect your contentment. You get the nice new things maybe because you can't afford it, and they're nice and new, and God says enjoy the nice new things if you can.
Right.
But if you don't get it to be content.
But there's a difference between greed and enjoying nice things is whether you think that you deserve it or not. So enjoying good things that God has blessed you, you say, I don't deserve this. This is something I'm going to treasure for the rest of my life. Greed tells you, you deserve this. You need this. You've earned this. You know, you need this, you know, to look this way or to be this way or whatever it is. So greed tells you, you deserve it. You need it.
I think you said it well earlier when you mentioned pride. Greed is associated with pride. And you're kind of alluding to that now.
Yeah.
That greed is basically saying me.
Right.
Whereas contentment still buys nice new things, but it's not about you. It's you've got the money. You've got the excess funds. God has blessed you, and you see that, and you think, oh, that would be nice, and buy it. Great.
Right.
No problem if it's not going to put you in debt. But you don't do it because if you don't, you'll lose sleep that night.
Right. But contentment is not mediocre. It's not like, oh, okay, that wasn't the greatest, but it was okay. No, contentment is this was great. This satisfied my need. That's what it is. Contentment is not just, well, that was okay. I'm okay with this.
You know, I would say that the best illustrations are in our own lives, either someone else or myself. And when I see my kids are often very content with small things. They don't need bigger toys or newer things. When I give them something nice, they say, oh, that's great. Thank you, Daddy. And they like that too. And if I give them something else, oh, thank you, Daddy. And they like that too. It's contentment doesn't mean you don't like new things. It means you are okay without the new thing.
Right.
And if God happened to allow you to get it, then you're going to like that too. So contentment is not a lack of humanity. It's not a lack of ability to be aware of and enjoy your surroundings. It's just these things don't affect who you are and the peace inside of you as a person.
Right.
All right. We're going to end there. We'll talk about the other four things you should not do when spending money. As I said tonight, the last one we dealt with, the first and the last one tonight, is don't satisfy your greed. Do not spend to spoil yourself or your kids or your wife. I understand occasionally there's times where you might want to spoil your wife per se, but you know, even my wife or my kids, if I'm spoiling them, I wouldn't do it because they're whining for it. I would do it because I love them, and knowing that if I buy this for them, although we use the word spoil, it won't spoil them. It will bring happiness, you know, to them in a memory that we could share together.
Right.
All right. Well, I hope you guys have a good night. We'll see you next Sunday as we continue this conversation on a biblical view of healthy finances.